She's a delightful little flower, isn't she?
Yes,
Allie McKay?
She is. Just a delightful little flower.
Hey, do you ever see an article online and you go, are they writing that just to me?
Yeah.
Is this so specific that is somebody watching me right now? Why does this article sound like it's about my life? Well, that's how I felt last week, Kevin, and I know you did too, when this piece popped up on BuzzFeed that has over 4 million views already, by the way. And the headline is, "Dear men, please stop wearing cargo shorts. This is not a drill." It goes on to say, "A deadly plague has infected America for far too long now. It has contaminated our neighborhoods. Scientists call this plague cargo shorts, and we must finally kill this infection once and for all. Luckily, the fashion world has been tirelessly working on a cure for some time now. Men, say hello to every other pair of shorts in existence. Non-cargo shorts are actually pretty incredible inventions." So then it goes on and on and on to talk about all of these douchebag hipster shorts that we should be wearing instead of cargo shorts.
Yeah, the options are terrible.
The options are terrible.
I can take that I'm a bad dresser, but the options that you're giving me, I don't want.
I can't. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't pull off these alternate shorts that they show in this BuzzFeed article. I would look even dumber than I look in the cargo shorts. So Christine put up the article at the Kevin DeBean Facebook page, and it got hundreds of comments from people. So much reaction. Who knew that there was this debate about cargo shorts? But apparently, Kevin, a lot of people are offended by the fact that guys like you and me, adult males, are wearing cargo shorts. Now, what do you suppose that's about? Like, why do you suppose people care?
I don't know. Here's my thought. I don't care.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, so, but that's your thought on most things. No, but let's try to put yourself in their shoes for a minute. Why do they care whether we're wearing cargo shorts? Like, why are they so hard for people to look at?
I don't know, unless maybe they think it's I don't know. Do they think it's for younger people, so they say men stop wearing them? Is that a thing? Or,
well,
I don't know.
Let's see some of the comments here on the Kevin DeBean Facebook page. And we want to hear from you, by the way, if you are anti-cargo shorts. If there's some reason you have why we shouldn't wear cargo shorts, we want to hear from you. Because apparently this article has struck a nerve with a lot of people. So you can call us at 1-800-520-1067, or you can text us at the number 2 K-Rock. Listen to this from Mariana. "My boyfriend's wardrobe consists of cargo shorts and a T-shirt or polo shirt every single day. I can't. Men, they don't have to be douchey hipster shorts, but for the love of God, please wear some other type of shorts. There are great skate and surf companies with badass shorts that are not cargo shorts. Please and thank you," says Mariana. Here's Brittany. "Cargo shorts are vag repellent. They may be comfy, but they're god-awful. You don't have to wear tight, short hipster shorts, especially when there are great skate and surf brands that make regular four-pocket shorts that come to just below the knee. Hashtag stop wearing cargos." I mean, these are people who are violently against cargo shorts. Allie, you're a woman. What say you when you see a guy in cargo shorts? Is it a vag repellent?
It isn't for me. I just think if you're comfortable, then you're probably going to be a better human being than if you're wearing those, like, huggers. Like, the picture in this article, those shorts, I can't imagine a guy being very comfortable if his junk is just pressed up in there, is
right.
All I'm saying. So if they're making you feel good, comfortable, you're going to be a better person.
My question is, how can you feel this strongly about this topic?
I get it if that's all her boyfriend is wearing. She'd like to see him switch it up. Maybe switch it up every once in a while, but I can't imagine you just saying, absolutely not, stop wearing them.
I think I wear cargo shorts 28 days a month, probably.
Okay.
I mean, that's my uniform. That's my go-to. But look, I think you're being nice.
I'm 31 days a month.
I think you're being nice when you say whatever makes him comfortable, because I think you would have an opinion if somebody were wearing sandals and socks or something like that, even if they thought it was comfortable. I think something
I'm not an animal.
That would be crazy.
Yeah. We're talking cargo shorts. We're not talking black socks with sandals. That's wrong. And Birkenstocks, men, stop it.
Adrian writes in, "I carry my wallet and my keys in one hip pocket and my phone in the other, and the two extra leg pockets carry air. Blow me, BuzzFeed." So he's pro cargo shorts.
Okay.
Tommy writes in on the Kevin Mead Facebook page, someone at BuzzFeed is drunk and stupid. Cargo shorts are by far the most comfortable shorts with many pockets for things. And by the way, I think the pockets has an awful lot to do with why I wear the cargo shorts so much, because you do want a place to put your sunglasses, you want a place to put your phone, you want a place to put your wallet, you want a place to put your keys. I mean, you these days you do carry around a lot of stuff.
Place for your candy bars, you know, you need a spot for that, maybe an animal.
Why are you carrying an animal around?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of things that you would put in your cargo shorts.
So why not just be – look, I'm the only one who's wearing them. You're not wearing them. Let me wear them if I want to wear them. I guess that's what I'm saying. But if you disagree, if you think cargo shorts are no bueno, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Wow, we already have a lot of people on the line. Please stand by. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
Who knew there was all this hate?
Dude. Cargo shorts apparently are really bugging a lot of people. Talking about that, taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Listen to this from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Maybe this is an angle we haven't thought about. This is from Andrew. Cargo shorts are like the Confederate flag or a swastika. They can be misinterpreted. All I'm saying is that you never see a guy not wearing cargo shorts yelling at his wife and or kids in public. So how about that? He's putting a lot of importance on what the guy chooses to wear.
That guy's an idiot.
Texting at K-Rock at 2KROQ on the 626. Men shouldn't wear shorts at all except to swim, sleep, or work out. Well, that person is no friend of mine.
That's old.
All right.
That guy's an idiot.
Allie, you were saying some of these ladies seem like they're making some pretty good points on the phones?
Well, now that I'm looking at these calls, some of them make some good points.
All right. Let's start with Vivian. Give me line four, please. Let's bring up Vivian from Lake Forest and see what her problem is. We're talking about a BuzzFeed article that suggests that cargo shorts on men in America is a plague that needs to be stopped. And it sounds like you might agree with that, Vivian.
I do. Good morning, everyone.
Hi there.
Good morning.
So, why do you hate?
Yes. In general, I think most guys have skinny legs, and then you guys give yourselves big, wide legs with big cargo pockets and no butt. It's just not attractive, guys.
So wait, so if we got a tan and a bigger butt, you'd be cool with it?
No tan, just skinny legs.
Skinny, okay, so we worked out. All right.
You're just accentuating the skinny by having bulky shorts, is what she's saying.
Right. Okay. It's like, it just looks funny. It's like girls that shouldn't be wearing yoga pants. Right?
Okay, but let me suggest this, Vivian, and I know that you and I haven't met in person. I assume we haven't. I'm so sexy, I have to dial it down a little bit. Otherwise, the women cannot control themselves. I can't let all the sexy show.
It's only fair to us. You're right.
It's only fair, right? Exactly. It's like sunglasses when you're looking at the sun. That's how I'm looking at my cargo shorts. All right. Thank you for the call, my dear. Appreciate that. Let's try Dawn. Line 7, please, in Orange. Dawn also appears to be against cargo shorts. Let's find out why.
Hey, Dawn.
Yes, cargo shorts are just saddlebags on the size of men's size. You should just get a purse. Men should just get a purse.
Hold on, Dawn. Now we can't carry a man purse?
No, she's saying we should carry a man purse.
Oh, all right.
You're saying if we're wearing cargo shorts because of all the pockets, you're saying do away with the cargo shorts, wear some grown-up pants, and just start wearing a purse, and you won't make fun of that?
That's right.
Don, here's something maybe you didn't think of. I'll look bad in both. So if I look bad in cargo shorts and bad in jeans or any other type of clothing, it's not going to help.
It'll be a nice, attractive hanging on your shoulder rather than those saddlebags on the side that nobody irons. You can't iron those pockets and they look awful.
Yeah, it does bug me when my shorts aren't ironed.
All right. Thank you, Don. We're losing you. Let's go to Joanna, line 6, please, in La Mirada. Now, Joanna, it sounds like took it to the next step. Is this true? You threw away your husband's cargo shorts?
That's right. I sure did.
You are a communist.
They were terrible. He looked like he was a duck walking around with these terrible shorts.
But he's not in a fashion shoot. He's living his life comfortably. What's wrong with wearing something that's comfortable that also gives him pockets where he can put his stuff?
You know, we had a Vegas trip this weekend. I got rid of all of them and I switched over to the chino shorts.
And so what was his reaction?
Look nice.
So you took all of his shorts and got rid of them?
That's right. I should have torched them all.
And how did he feel about it?
He wasn't too happy with it, but he had new shorts.
And he looked better, didn't he?
And he looked a lot better.
Yeah.
Walking next to me.
All right, communists.
Mm. Thank you. Seriously. That sounds like grounds for divorce. I don't know about you guys. I'm not an attorney, but it sounds like grounds for divorce to me. Allie, these ladies aren't turning you, are they?
Well, I think if we go to Carrie, I didn't even really think about this, but she brings up a good point.
Carrie?
All right.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Good morning. Thanks for getting me to work every day.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a very selfish reason for not liking those cargo shorts, mm-hmm. and it is we can't admire your butt.
Good
point.
You're so smart, Carrie. You're going the other way and saying, oh, I really want to look at your butt.
We can't see what you're working with because of the bulk around the side.
But if you see my butt, then there's a possibility that Lenny Kravitz is going to fall out, and nobody wants that.
Of your butt?
No.
I'm saying the other side.
You got to see what you're working with.
I need extra.
Women wearing a muumuu. You know, why?
Okay. It's not a muumuu.
They're muumuus. They're only slightly better than a fanny pack. And we can't see, you know, what we're dealing with. And, you know, we want to admire you, too.
No, you don't. All right. Thank you for the call. I
agree with Carrie on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what to do with that, but okay. So what are we saying here?
I think I
have the people spoken?
The people have spoken, and the people are once again wrong. Comedian Tig Notaro from the excellent Netflix documentary Tig, currently streaming, is going to be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour this morning. We'll talk a lot of Avalanche coming up. But first, our little friend Chip here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show needs some help. What's the problem here, Chip? What's going on?
Well, I'm finally full-time here, which is awesome, which means benefits, vacation, all that good stuff. But prior to that, since I was part-time, I was on Cover California, which is Obamacare, which mm-hmm. is if you're not covered by work or whatever, you mm-hmm. can pay for it yourself.
Okay.
And now that I'm full-time, I don't need that anymore.
Okay.
So last week I was trying to cancel that, so I don't have to pay for it later, like with taxes and stuff.
And sure. How'd that work out?
I was on the phone for about 4 hours total.
Oh, my God.
Still not sure if I'm canceled off of that. Because I'm going back and forth between it's the state that I'm talking to and the actual medical insurance company that I was providing care.
If you want to get off Obamacare, which you would think would be the goal, right?
Should be easy.
It should be easy.
Yeah. One less person to worry about. You're not paying for, you're not worried about me, right?
Why are they making it so difficult? Are you having to talk to all sorts of different people, or have you been going through lots of automated menus, or just on hold a lot, or what?
It's a little bit of both. Like, and then one company's like, you're canceled here, but call the other company, too. And then I call them, and they go, oh, no, you don't call us. You call this other company. And
oh, no.
You know, that has been – well, first of all, this is what happens when you elect a foreigner to run your country, first of all. You elect a Kenyan, and you're going to have troubles, okay? But second of all, that has been the rap on Obamacare since the beginning is a lot of people got it. Millions of people got it and said, thank God I have it. Now I have insurance. I'm grateful for that. But apparently it's very confusing and very complicated to get into and out of the program. But, Kevin, you have an Obamacare hotline number that we can help
with, right?
Yeah,
we have a little bit of time.
Okay,
right?
Let's try it then, because it's the last thing you want to do is go home again today and have to get back on the phone. So if we can take care of this for you, we will. Cancel Obamacare. That should be easy.
Hello, and thank you for calling the Covered California Help Hotline.
It's a jamming tune right there.
Heard this music a lot this week, did you, Chip?
Oh, yeah.
Hello. If you would like to preview health plans that are available to you through Covered California, press 1 now. If you'd like to sign up for medical insurance benefits and coverage, press 2 now. If you'd like to remove yourself from the Covered California program, press 3 now.
There you go.
Boom. Easy peasy.
You have pressed 3. Remove yourself from the Covered California program. If you're removing yourself from the program due to the fact that you obtained private insurance, press 1 now. If you are now insured through your employer, press 2 now.
Boom.
If you are deceased and no longer need medical insurance, press 3 now.
So we're at 2 on that.
How would that work?
Weird.
You press 2.
Yes.
You are now covered by insurance from your employer. Legislation requires all insurance plans, even those provided by your employer, to meet essential health benefits. At the tone, please briefly describe all of your plan's benefits, including doctor visits, hospitalization, emergency care, maternity care, pediatric care for children, and prescriptions.
We don't, everything, all the good stuff.
I'm sorry, you're out of time.
Chip,
please, at the tone, please briefly describe all of your health benefits provided by your new insurance plan, including doctor visits, hospitalization, emergency care, medical care, pediatric care for children, prescriptions, and paternity care.
They cover lots of stuff.
I'm sorry, you're out of time. At the tone, please briefly describe all the benefits provided by your new insurance plan. Doctor visits, hospitalization, emergency care.
He's not even trying.
I'm sorry, you're out of time. You're still with the program.
Oh, come on.
Call back when you get your crap together.
Yesterday morning, about this time in the first showbiz report of the day, Ralph Garman brought up that it was Darius Rucker's birthday, the singer, a very popular country singer now, formerly with Hootie and the Blowfish. And we made reference to something that had happened in the past involving Kevin and Darius Rucker. But we didn't have time to tell the story there. And throughout the day, we kept saying, oh, we're going to get to it. Never got to it until the very end of the program. So in case you were listening throughout the day early and missed it, I think you need to know that Kevin has some explaining to do.
I went to the Grammys and brought a laser pointer so that when Hootie and the Blowfish were on the stage, I would put the laser pointer on them and then all would laugh. So I do that.
And by all, you mean?
I don't know. I'm just telling you the facts.
You mean you, yes. Magpie. You shiny object liker.
Yes.
Yes.
So that happens, and he performs, and the little lights all over his guitar, and I'm cracking up, and I find that funny. And then...
Now, wait. Hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt. Is this during the actual Grammys show, like while it's live on television?
Yep.
You're in the audience of the TV audience, and you're putting a red light on his face while he's on TV?
But you've never heard this story before, Bean?
No, I thought it was a rehearsal.
No!
This was during the Grammys.
This is the Grammys. He's in the audience. Cameras are live. Being broadcast around the world. Kevin is shining a laser pointer on Darius Rucker while he performs with Hootie and the Blowfish.
Now, what I don't know is that his manager was standing on stage and saw it coming from the audience, and then when they broke for commercial, he watched me stand up and walk down front to seat Phil or whatever I was doing that day and said, "That's him!" And the security surrounded me at the Grammys and they marched me out and then they asked me my name and my address and I gave them all false information and then they physically removed me from the Grammys.
Didn't they ask you to empty your pockets?
Oh, yeah, they did. They said, "What's this?" It was a laser pointer. I said, "A pen?"
You say it just like
that. Yes, and they did not find that funny. You don't have any
ID.
They
knew it was a laser pointer. Yeah, it was... You're saying everyone knows it's a laser pointer, and you say it's a pen.
Yes, and it wasn't a pen/laser pointer.
Right.
It was just a laser pointer.
It was no pen.
Yeah, so I said, a pen? Trying to be, you know, lighten the mood a little. And then they threw me out. So then we came on the next day and told the story, and then the record company.
Well,
it's
a good thing we're not in the music business. There's no way that anyone from the music industry would ever hear about it from K-Rock, the radio station.
Boop. Cut to about 6 months later, I'm on the phone in the office talking to Hootie or whatever the guy's name is.
Did our boss pull you in and say you need to make this right?
You have to say you're sorry.
Because the record label itself is furious at the fact that you put a laser pointer on one of their talent.
Yes. Wow. And so I sat there and said, "I'm sorry that I put a laser pointer." And he said, "Don't do it anymore." And I said, "Okay."
Now, is that an accurate representation of how the conversation went?
I really did have to get on my knees, so to speak. I mean, I really had to.
You're a fifth grader in the principal's office.
I was, yes.
Is who you are.
I really had.
In many levels, you're a fifth grader. But this particular case.
Zero people were interested in a fake apology. Mm-hmm. So I had to sort of.
So did he say, "I forgive you, young man"? Obviously, you're 15.
Did he say, "I'm not angry at you, Kevin"?
I'm just disappointed.
Did he say that?
I don't remember. I just remember walking out going, "So that happened."
Did they ask you why you did it? Like, how did your reason, "I thought it would be funny," go over with them?
The same as it goes over with everybody. Nobody finds what I think to be funny. So what,
it's because
at some point,
you're a short bus. That's
why. At some
point,
you just give up and you just go, "I don't know. I thought
it's
it was funny."
Because your special needs.
Look, at that point, I was just trying to just cut bait and get out. I just wanted to stop this madness. Oh. So I had to apologize to Hootie.
Now, wasn't there one other part of the story that I have a vague memory of, which is something somebody in Hootie's camp told you about why they were not only annoyed by it, but they were
frightened by it.
Because they thought it may not have just been a child's play toy, that it might have been a sight for a rifle or something, right?
Yeah.
Someone thought it was a laser scope.
Yeah.
That's why they were really panicked when they saw the red dot. Listen, if you've ever seen a movie.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
You see the red laser dot coming through the window. You know Tom Cruise is about to get popped while he's on Mission Impossible.
So this was Zero Dark Hootie is what this was. Essentially.
How long have you been holding on to that?
Yeah, really. Since the last time you told the story, I guess. Wasn't there an extra fact to that story? He said, furious that he couldn't use the joke that he had written down an hour ago.
That's not true. I just thought of it this second.
I forgot about that part.
As we were talking about the war movie.
Is there another part of that story, Kevin, regarding why they thought the red dot would be dangerous?
I have a joke in the chamber.
I have to say. And if you don't tell that part of the story, I can't get to it.
That's not fair. That was a good line, you guys. Come on.
Sure was. An hour ago, as you jotted down several movie titles with the word Hootie in them.
I just thought of that. Look, the focus isn't on me here.
Were they driving fast? Was it Hootie and the Bandit?
I'm not the one who tried to kill Darius Rucker. That's Kevin, all right? Don't turn this around on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they didn't use a bomb, it would have been the Hootie Locker. He just has a list of
he's
Hootie.
Got a whole chunk he's working
Hootie
up there.
Hootie titles he's written down.
Can't believe Kevin's not telling that part of the story.
If I remember correctly, wasn't there also an additional fact, Kevin?
Yeah, then there came in the acting where he's like, I think I remember.
Oh, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't there something about...
So, Allie, are you... Now that you've heard it, you see why Kevin is magic, right? A picture being an adult, though, and being lucky enough to be at the Grammys, would you try to disrupt it with your nonsense?
No, of course not.
In a million years, you'd never... I mean, you're one step away from the soy bomb guy,
Kevin.
I'm
a human being. I'm a person.
Same.
I wouldn't do that. No, you're not.
Same.
Don't get me started with the Grammys. And don't bring up Grammys to me, Bean, because Kevin did take me to the Grammys one year. Do you remember?
Oh!
When he left me behind at the Shrine Auditorium?
That was a whole different year.
When he abandoned me in the parking lot? He was my ride. He picked me up. And then I was a good well, I have a good seat. Why don't you stay here? I was like, all right. I'll see you after the show. I was like, okay. So I walk out of the parking lot, car's gone. Car's gone. It's gone.
Kevin's gone. He's in bed at that point.
Out. No, I was partying with Hootie and the Blowfish.
I was
they made up over the laser pointer incident. Gone.
I went to party.
Not even close.
I went back up where I thought Ralph was.
Gone.
I was in completely the wrong place. So he, of course, wasn't there. So I was like, well, maybe Ralph left. I went to parties.
So it's midnight, and Ralph is walking down Exposition Boulevard in a tuxedo.
Shrine Auditorium. In a tuxedo.
With no money.
With no money. You're trying to find an ATM so I can get a cab. Tremendous douchebag.
So why Kevin's not allowed to go to the Grammys anymore.
Yeah. So you can't surprise me what Kevin does at the Grammys.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, both those happened. Different years. My bad.
Oh, was it?
I'll take this.
Wait, was it Ralph's fault?
No, that's on me.
Ass. No one likes you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
And here at the holidays or anytime all year long, one of our favorite people in the world to talk to is LaQuisha.
Hey, everybody. You know how we have LaQuisha on our show and she likes to review the reality TV shows?
Sure.
Well, we've got her on the line right now, and she's ready to review a Christmas classic. Hello, LaQuisha.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. Merry Christmas.
To you, too.
Happy Kwanzaa to you, LaQuisha.
I'm not celebrating no Kwanzaa.
Oh, I thought that was...
I'm celebrating Christmas.
Okay.
All right, my bad. I'm sorry.
I was flipping around the TV, cause, as I want to do, you know, because I love watching the television.
You do.
And I came across that show, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. You know that little show?
Yeah, it's a classic. They show it every year.
Yeah, a little cartoon show.
Right.
So I'm watching it for the first time in a long time, and I said, damn, there's some things wrong with this show.
That's a perfect Christmas show. They show it every year. What could be wrong with it?
No, it isn't. I'll tell you something. All the little who's down in Whoville, they are celebrating Christmas and getting ready and stuff. And the one person who doesn't want Christmas to come is the Grinch, right?
Right.
That's right.
Every who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not.
Mm-hmm. You know why the Grinch is living outside the city limits?
Yeah, but he doesn't like people.
No, because he's the only colored person in the whole neighborhood.
Oh, LaQuisha, what are you talking about?
All the little who's are all pink and fuzzy and whatnot, and the Grinch, he's got some color. He's green, so he can't live with everybody else. They put him in the slums.
Oh, LaQuisha.
Oh, he's got to be the bad one because he's colored. That's why.
No one is saying that, LaQuisha. That's
exactly
crazy.
What they're saying.
Oh, you're missing the whole point.
I think you're missing the whole point. Mm-hmm. And then the Grinch don't like Christmas because of all the presents and whatnot that the Who's play with.
Right.
And they make a lot of noise and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Like this.
And they play noisy games like Zuzitha Kaze.
What the hell's that, Zuzitha Kaze?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know what that
is. What the hell he talking about?
Well, it's based on the popular Dr. Seuss children's book, and he was kind of famous for just making up crazy words that sounded funny. That's all that's
it. Like a job to have for a grown man making up words? Just shut up, Dr. Seuss. Well, anyway, he goes and takes all the toys and whatnot from the Who's, right?
Right.
He breaks into their homes and steals their Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a secret subliminal racist message.
Oh, come on, LaQuisha.
Oh, the colored Who goes into people's homes and steal their gifts.
That's just not what it's about at all. You're missing the whole point.
Well, it turns out, even though they have no toys to play with and no food and whatnot, the people of Whoville are still happy about Christmas and stuff. And the Grinch, he changes his mind and learns the real meaning of Christmas.
That's right. That's right, LaQuisha. That's a beautiful message that the spirit of Christmas is that it's not about the presents you get. It's about the being together with your friends and family for the holiday.
Yeah, and this is what happens to him when he discovers that.
And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew three sizes that day.
Oh, like that's a good thing?
His heart grew bigger.
I had a cousin who had an enlarged heart. My cousin, Kleniqua, and she had to go to hospital because her heart got enlarged.
No, but his heart was so tiny to begin with.
That's a lie to say your heart gets big, that's a good thing for Christmas, because she happened to her in the holidays,
LaQuisha,
and she missed out on all the holidays being in a hospital.
LaQuisha, who hurt you?
I'm just saying this show is not right for Christmas time. And then the Grinch, who is colored again, if I remind you, he learns a special lesson. They invite him to come and sit down and carve the rare Who beast or whatever they're cooking, and everybody has a good time. Mm-hmm. Like he steals their stuff, and they're just going to welcome him on in. Oh, sit down. Have yourself a meal. Try that in my neighborhood. You get cut.
Well, no one wants that.
No, but it's the spirit of Christmas. They're saying, we understand what you're going through. You
mm-hmm.
understand what we're going through. Let's all get together and hold hands and have a meal.
Yeah, I know. That's the lesson we're all supposed to
right.
learn. And here's the little lesson everyone gets told at the end of the show.
Christmas Day is in our grasp, so long as we have hands to clasp. Christmas Day will always be just as long as we have we. Welcome Christmas while we stand heart to heart and hand in hand.
Aw. Aw.
I gotta go. I got something in my eye.
Aw, see?
Oh, LaQuisha.
I gotta go now. I gotta get off the phone.
Merry Christmas, LaQuisha. Oh. Here my whole thing. People who work on Earth their whole lives are suckers. The only job that matters is being an astronaut.
Yeah.
That's where it's at, you guys. Am I right, Captain?
It is not bad, I'll tell you that. It is quite an awesome experience to float above the planet and do 500 somersaults in a row and be a world-class gymnast, basically. And yeah, so it's a pretty good job. Can't complain.
Our guest is a retired United States Navy flight surgeon and NASA astronaut, Captain Jerry Lininger, joins us in studio here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. You can also see Jerry Tuesday nights at 10 on Science Channel. Here's part of that show that we told you about earlier in the week. We had Mike Foles on earlier in the week for Secret Space Escapes, which is a new show on Science Channel where they talk about the bad things that sometimes happen in space. You're lucky if you walk away from any kind of accident up there. And yours, Jerry, just to hit it briefly, you were on the Mir space station and what went wrong?
Yeah, we had a huge fire. So a fire 3 feet in length, just a blowtorch-like intensity, sparks flying off the end of it like 100 sparklers lit at once. Of course, the smoke fills up. I'm an old Navy guy, as you mentioned, and I've done Navy firefighting, but I have never seen smoke spread like it spread on the space station. Within about 30 seconds, couldn't see the five fingers in front of your face.
Wow. Oh,
yeah, so you're on the spacecraft, nowhere to go, you're cut off, you got this huge flame. If the flame points down, you got rapid decompression, quick suffocation. you know, bad day in space, basically.
I'm sure you're trained not to panic.
Not to panic's the key.
But,
and that's one of the big ones.
But are you prepared for what might happen? Did that ever come up in class?
You know, Allie, you sort of are. The big three you have to instantly respond to is fire, rapid decompression, and toxic event. So if you have some toxic chemical, those are the three that you better go on to autopilot and you better be well trained. And my old Navy experience on the back of an aircraft carrier on a stormy night trying to land, that's the same sort of thing. You better have that down pat and you better be very competent. So those big three, we train very hard and we're ready for it. And so we were prepared. Nonetheless, you know, again, the blackout surprised me. The intensity of that flame surprised me. And when I put on my first respirator, you know, feeling my way along a bulkhead trying to get to it, it failed. I suck in and I get, you know, the mask just collapsing around my face. And I hit the lever again to the oxygen container and the thing doesn't work. And at that point, I'm already getting fuzzy peripheral vision from needing oxygen. And then I'm feeling my way along a bulkhead trying to get to that next thing.
Are you actively not panicking? I mean, do you have to tell yourself calm?
Exactly right, Kevin. You are literally, I would say my pulse was 60 at that point. And you know, I mean, you got to kind of have the right stuff. And a lot of guys do. But
my pulse would have been 260.
Yeah. Afterwards, it is. After the fire's out, after you get out of the danger, you go in a quiet corner of that spacecraft. I went in the old airlock and you just let all those emotions out and then your heart races, then you sweat. But during it, you say, you know, if I panic, if I don't get methodical, I'm dead. We're going to lose the spacecraft. And probably the main thing you think about, and I think it's the same in combat, you think about your buddies up there. And I'm going to not let this team down. I'm not going to be, in Navy terms, you know, the weak link in the chain.
Right. Were you the only American on the ship at the time?
I was. It was Russian guys talking only in Russian, Mission Control, Moscow controlling. So, ya говорит много по-русски. I talk a lot of Russian.
Easy for you to say.
Forgive me for not knowing this part of the story, and maybe this is why Secret Space Escapes will be an awesome show to see, because what caused the fire, and it is putting it out much more complicated than we would here on Earth?
It was the Russians, wasn't it?
Yeah. They were scheming. Actually, we had an overlap of crews, and so we actually had a failed primary oxygen generator. And so this thing was a supplemental, kind of looks like a small garbage can, metallic, cylindrical, filled with a slurry of oxygen-rich chemical. Supposed to just, you know, you flick the lever to start it, and it's an exothermic reaction, no flame involved. But somehow it sparked, and then it shot on fire. And so it had fuel, it had built-in big-time oxygen, and we were not going to put it out. So we learned that quickly, grabbed the fire extinguisher, water-based. When you think about it in space, I'm going to live up there for the next 4 months. You cannot be spraying chemicals into the air. I'd be breathing them the rest of the time. Oh, just like, you know, ecosystem on Earth, you know, it's on a smaller scale up there. So water-based fire extinguisher, we were not going to put that intense flame out. So we changed our strategy, hosed down the far bulkhead, tried to keep secondary fires from starting, exhausted three or four fire extinguishers. One of the things that was different, I had a bear hug and then wedge my legs into the connecting tunnel to the guy shooting the fire extinguisher because, you know, every action equinox a reaction, and in space you fire a fire extinguisher and you go fly in the other direction.
So you're holding him up while he's doing it.
I'm holding him while he's firing, and every once in a while I'd creep up to his face, try to look into his eyes, make sure he's still alive. You know, couldn't see his eyes, too much of a blackout from the smoke, so I would shake him every 30 seconds or so. He would shake me back. We know we're both alive, still on oxygen. About 14 minutes, 14 minutes into that fire, we finally get it out. But even then, you think, okay, sigh of relief, fire's out, but you've got an unbreathable atmosphere now, and all that's keeping you alive is those little respirators. So
14 minutes must seem like 10 hours.
That's a long time in the middle of a raging fire with no place to go and can't see a thing. And, it was quite an experience. And this Secret Space Explorers, I'll tell you, I watched a couple of the episodes, 8-part series. It's all first-person accounts. And I'm fascinated listening to the other guys because some of these stories are things that people kind of kept to themselves. Mm-hmm. Now that the shuttle program, you know, you got to have the right stuff a little bit. And so I think people are reluctant to kind of share some of that in case you were a little fallible at that time because you might not get the next flight.
Interesting. Right. Yeah,
so shuttle's done. We're done. Able to talk about
now
it a little
people
bit.
Can talk about it.
Are you watching it at all going, wuss? That was nothing.
Not really. All
mine was worse.
Mine was worse.
You know what's funny, though? Even a perfect mission, and Bean, I know you understand this, even a perfect mission, man, you are on the edge of the envelope, and you are just one split second away from disaster. You know, 7 million pounds of thrust, Mach 25, 25 times the speed of sound. During launch, it's just violent, chaotic, shaking around, jostled around. Those solid rocket boosters 2 minutes into it explode off, huge boom, boom. And then you're in a dragster, and you just feel that acceleration. Feels like three guys sitting on your chest. And, you know, then those engines cut off, and all of a sudden you go from getting crushed in your seat to losing all those people and losing your own body weight. So all of a sudden you're floating, and that, you know, abrupt change is what's incredible in space. And then you're floating a window looking down at planet Earth, looking at the heavens. You know, it's just...
And you're getting that sweet government paycheck.
Yeah. You know, they actually wanted to give me hazardous duty pay when I was up there. They were starting to try to get my Navy hazardous duty pay, and I said, no, you know, there's guys down on Earth deserve that. I'm just doing my job.
They tried to pay you more, and you said no.
Yeah, I did get per diem, though. I got, I think it was 57 cents a day per diem from the Navy, so that's pretty hilarious.
Well, that's worth it. This is the voice of Captain Jerry Lininger here on the Kevin Abid Show. He is a former NASA astronaut. We're going to take a break and come back with calls for Ask an Astronaut. If you're like me and a space geek and there are questions you've always wanted to know about the astronaut program or being in space or being on the space station, call now 1-800-520-1067. And let me ask as we go to break, Captain, is there, when you had your life and your career in space and you've been millions of miles through space, is it like a professional athlete who longs for those days when he used to play? Is it tough for you to wake up every day and just be on Earth and not go back?
You know, it's tough, but I think surprisingly I don't crave it. I would go to Mars in a heartbeat. Let's put it that way. I try to keep my foot in the door. And by the way, you do have a chance, I think, Bean, because I think they'll take an old guy. I don't know how old you are.
Yeah, but no, he's got a lot of issues.
All right.
What do you mean? Tell me more. Why do I still have a chance? Are they looking for people to go to Mars?
I think they'll take an old guy, a guy that doesn't mind the risk, a guy that everybody on Earth wants to get rid of.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah.
So,
see you later,
Bean. There you go. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Captain Jerry Lininger is here on the Kevin Abid Show. The program, by the way, Secret Space Escapes, airs Tuesday nights at 10 on the Science Channel. It is excellent. Your calls as we ask an astronaut. Next, right after this on K-Rock. Actor Seth Rogen joins us in about 20 minutes or so on the Kevin Abid Show from the hit film The Night Before. But screw Seth Rogen, right?
Earthling.
We may bump Seth Rogen. That's
you know what's
I'm
funny,
you.
Bean? There's an old poster I saw. It's got a picture of an astronaut flying that jetpack out in space, you know, just by himself doing a spacewalk. And it says that the only words it says is, what do presidents, billionaires, and rock stars want to be when they grow up? ? And that's it. So, you know, I got that picture of the astronaut out in space.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm with you on that. He's all right, but, you know, it's not going into space, man.
The voice you're hearing is a retired NASA astronaut. He is Captain Jerry Lininger, and we are taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067, where you can ask an astronaut.
Time to ask an astronaut if you dare.
Yep.
It's all right. Time to ask an astronaut.
All right, thank you, bud.
You better not be lame.
All right.
All right. Captain Jerry Lininger's got major space game.
All right. Are we done? We're done.
I believe we're done. Good.
That is awesome. Excellent. Whoever did that, I love it. That would be my wake-up music in space. If I go back up, that'll wake me up one morning. That's awesome.
It won't surprise you that it was mentioned in the theme song, and the very first call that came through to the Kevin Abid Show is Carlos in San Pedro with the most commonly asked space questions. So, Jerry, let's get it out of the way first, and then we can move on to other stuff. All right, Carlos, go ahead.
Hey, brother. I'm on my way to work. Lafayette, I love your show.
Thank
Hi, Kevin
you.
Bean.
Say hi.
You know what? My question is, has anybody had sex or got intimate in outer space?
Ah, boy, you're putting me in a rough spot here. I will say we did have a couple go up, two astronauts that were married, and I know there was some quiet time that everyone else went on the flight deck, and I don't know what happened down below. I can tell you, though, it's physiologically very possible. And reproduction in space is something, you know, you got to think about if you're colonizing Mars and things like that. So it's actually kind of a serious question. I was up there with, you know, two rugged Russian cosmonauts, so there was none of that stuff going on for my 5 months.
But
I'll tell you that.
But after like 4 months, you're like, okay, these are my only options, right?
When you get back, the women better watch out. I don't care who they were. It was, you know, nice to see any female when you're back from space after 5 months.
All right, Carlos, thank you for the call. Let's go to Reed. He's in Hermosa Beach. He's on line three. He's got another question that I was often asked, but maybe you've got an answer for him. Jerry, go ahead, Reed.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Dean?
We're doing Acid Astronaut.
Awesome. So my question for Jerry is, did you ever see a UFO or something that you just couldn't explain?
You know, everybody listening, do you think I saw a UFO? Put your hand up. Unless you're driving. How many say no? How about you two?
No.
What do you think?
I'm going to say no.
Well, by UFO, you mean alien
unidentified flying object.
Yeah, I mean,
in the true sense of the word.
Oh, I think, yeah, I think you saw lots of unidentified flying objects.
And I did.
Yeah.
And that's exactly right. So I can say, yes, I did. I saw, and I'll tell you, I saw a white globular thing once, called my crewmates over there, said, what do you think that thing is? Sort of moving. The problem in space is you cannot tell the distance. So just like a star that's very bright and a dim star next to it, the dim star might be way closer, and the bright star could be trillions and trillions of miles further away, but much more powerful.
So that makes it almost impossible to identify what it could be.
It's very impossible. Now, I will say I saw machined sort of things going by, things that were shiny, metallic, tumbling through space, kind of regular motion. But that was, you know, could have been space debris. It could have been a spoon that floated out during a spacewalk that's kind of in the same orbit as we are. Because, again, you can't tell that distance. But I saw stuff, but I never had an alien knock on the door and ask to come in.
Never seen a Martian.
So I never saw the Martian or anything that unusual.
Is that what the government is telling you to tell
us? Yeah, I can only say, you know, actually I'm done with, you know, I'm a retired astronaut, so I can be pretty straightforward. But, yes, you know, I think there's unusual things you see. And I think on a broader question, the probability theory will tell you, you know, is there life out there? Yes, there's life out there. The only thing I can tell you, though, this stuff is trillions of miles apart from us. And so for it to get to us, they would have to be a different kind of animal with a different kind of brain than we have. Because, you know, we're lucky to be able to get to Mars, which is probably like, you know, going from Santa Monica to downtown L.A. versus going around the world. I mean, that's the size of differential going to Mars versus coming from another galaxy, for example.
Reed, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. You know, you mentioned that space debris. There's so much up there, so many dead satellites and space trash, like you've said. Why don't any of the ships that ever launch from Earth run into that stuff? It seems like that would be catastrophic if you hit some of that garbage.
It could be, and we're worried about it. Matter of fact, we take the shuttle and we do diversions. We fire the thrusters up there to get in a different orbit because stuff is going at about, you know, 17,000, 18,000 miles an hour, and even if it's the size of a grain of sand, you know, it with that much energy, it's exponential with that velocity, how much energy that generates. And so we do worry about it. We are being very cautious about any space debris. We do our best not to create more space debris. But I have been looking out the window, space station mirror, and all of a sudden I see a solar panel get a big old hole in it, and it probably got hit by a grain of sand going 18,000 miles an hour, and now you have a foot and a half circular jagged edge on a solar panel. So we do get hit. We do track that stuff, and we do maneuvers to miss it.
Let's try Josh in Roland Heights. He's up next. He's on line six. Ask an astronaut with Captain Jerry Lininger. You're on the air. Go ahead, Josh.
Hi, great captain. Shout out to my sister in Santa Monica. I just want to ask about the overview effect. Basically, you know, the philosophical feeling when you first see the Earth for the first time. Can you explain that to us?
Josh, I wish I could snap my fingers and get everyone on planet Earth up there. You know, we can't do that. It's a huge rocket you got to be in. You got to know what you're doing. But if I could do that for even a minute, I think we'd all change dramatically. And, you know, you'd see that whole Earth. You realize we're all in it together. I'm up with two Russian cosmonauts, Cold War enemies. You get a common goal. You put all the petty differences aside. And I think a lot of our problems on Earth would sort of disappear if we had that perspective that we are all together on our home planet Earth, and we'd probably take care of it a little bit differently also.
A lot of people say that the ecology movement came out of those first NASA photographs of the Earth in space where people really, for the first time, started to realize we're all just living on this tiny little marble together.
Exactly right.
We have more in common than we do differences.
Yeah, a spacecraft is essentially a closed ecosystem. We had to make our oxygen, scrub our carbon dioxide. And as I say, during a fire, you got to clear that smoke out. And whatever we put into the air with our fire extinguisher was going to be there for the next 4 months. Planet Earth, when you look down at it from that perspective, you realize same thing. Closed ecosystem, whatever we spray into the air, we're going to have to deal with. I think the problem is it kind of diffuses across, and you think, okay, it's not my problem, it's someone else's problem. So, you know, I'm a big fan of acting locally. You try to make, for example, L.A. as clean as you can, and it'll sort of take care of itself on a bigger scale. I will say one other thing, if I could. I saw a volcano explode, and I saw ash going for 3,000 miles in one direction, high-level winds taking the steam the other direction for, you know, 1,000 miles. And then I see downwind from a coal power plant in the middle of winter, a very, very, very dot of a, you know, shade on the snow from probably some of that coal burning. And so you got to realize this planet's alive. And when you see that contrast of thousands of miles of soot going into the air from a volcano versus, you know, a coal plant burning, you got to have a little different perspective on that. I'm not saying take care of the local stuff as best you can. But there's a bigger picture. It's a huge dynamic planet, and it's pretty darn good at buffering. And, you know, we're in a world of God's creation, basically, and it works pretty well.
Well, I am devastated that we are already out of time, Captain. I really am so sad. You have a couple of books out if people want to read more about your experiences in space, though, right?
I do. And, you know, the Secret Space Escapes, it is a heck of a program, really well done. And I'm fascinated watching the thing. And so if you want to know more, that's what I do. I'd get on the Science Channel and take a look at it. I've been having fun watching it myself and launched in New York City at Comic-Con. It was awesome. 500 people in costumes having fun watching it. And it's very well done. So that's where I'd go. I'd go watch that show if you want to learn
Secret
a little bit more.
Space Escapes, Tuesday nights at 10 on the Science Channel. All right, there you go. Captain Jerry Lininger, thanks so much for coming in. We enjoyed it.
Fantastic. I did too. Thank you.
I always feel like when Ralph says, hey, can you guys carve me out some time? I've got some thoughts on the Kevin and Bean show. It doesn't seem like it's ever good news for us.
It is good news.
Really? You're coming in to say great job, guys?
An unexamined life is not worth living.
I have heard that.
Yes, and that is true. So this way you get a chance to reflect. You get a chance to step outside and take another look with fresh eyes. You get to see your progress.
Right, but I think sometimes you don't want to look at the game tape when you've lost as badly as we've lost.
How else are you going to keep from losing that badly
if
again
you're
if you
Seahawks,
don't look at the game
are
tape?
Are you looking at that game today?
Yeah.
No,
because
you're
waiting. You don't want that play ever to happen again, right?
Right.
So let's spend a little time in the film room, boys.
Okay.
Everybody take a knee.
All right. All right. What did we do this time, Ralph?
Here's the thing about Kevin and Bean, boys and girls, for those of you who are listening. Under the best of situations, they are fair to middling.
Thank you, Ralph.
But when you bring a really attractive woman into the mix, when you bring in a supermodel or a porn star or, in this case, a commercial model like Boobs McFadden, she was
Charlotte McKinney.
Whatever her name.
Yeah,
is.
Carl's Jr.
Yeah, Cans Malone.
Uh-huh.
She was from the Carl's Jr. ad
right.
from the Super Bowl, where she's walking around naked with her boobs flopping, and Kevin and Bean insisted on having her in on the show to talk to her.
I think that's a worthwhile interview subject, don't you, Ralph?
No, because she, as a sweet girl,
uh-huh.
didn't have a whole lot to say, and you guys were just embarrassing as you fell over your own units. Trying to impress her, and
how dare you?
You were giggling like 5-year-olds, and it was just—it was a nightmare. It was a
how dare you?
It was just tragic to hear you two act like 12-year-olds trying to impress the prettiest girl in the class.
Look, I was expecting you to mock us. I wasn't expecting nightmare.
Well, don't be a nightmare then.
Come on now.
Kevin kicks things off as we go back over the game tape. He's just trying to be sympathetic for how hard it must be for her right now to be her.
Are you in a fog of a schedule right now? Just crazy going.
A fog of schedule, I think, is second only to a moment of party in the pantheon of what the F does that mean?
It's a fog of schedule. That
what
makes
is
sense.
A fog of schedule?
I didn't say it right.
Play
but you know what that is.
Clip again.
I'd rather not. Are you in a fog of a schedule right now? Just crazy going.
Are you a fog of schedule? What was your question?
That I have been working with Kevin so long that I don't even hear stuff like
you
that.
You didn't
hear
anymore. Fog of schedule?
I didn't even notice. It sounded completely like a regular Kevin question to me.
I saw a fog of schedule. True, by the way. They're outstanding. So, Cance McNamara says that
Charlotte McKinney.
Yeah. Says that her boobs have always been so big that they've sort of been a problem for her.
Right.
All right, now, isn't this great radio? Isn't this a good radio interview? Is this what you want to hear when you tune into the Kevin and Bean show?
And her sister recommended that maybe she get a breast reduction.
All right.
That did not go over well in this particular room.
Did you ever think, I'm getting the message that my boobs are too big from so many people? If I want to move on, I'm going to have to do something about that and make them smaller.
You know what? It was a thought. Like, my sister was always like, maybe you should get a reduction.
First of all, your sister should die, but go ahead.
First of all, your sister should die.
Well, I didn't mean literally. I just meant that's a
that was
bag.
Your comedy. That was your comedy comment?
Yeah.
Death to your sister. Well, that was the keeping things light?
I felt like that was funnier before it came out. It was funny.
Do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
First of all, your sister should die.
Well,
I can't think of any circumstances
for real.
That's ever funny.
But I'm not talking about for real.
Right.
I'm just saying.
So what was the comic element of that then? What was the fantastical part of it?
It was then? That's an absurd thing that's an absurd advice.
Right.
So
your sister should be locked up in a dungeon for that.
Well,
something along those lines.
That's the same because she.
That's the same.
Yes, because
your sister should die.
Because you wouldn't expect either of those to actually happen.
Your sister should be hit with a trank dart. Something like along those lines.
Well, that would have been better.
Your sister should die. Maybe a little on the harsh side.
Fog of schedule. Sister should die.
even for Melons Malone, I think she was a little taken aback by that.
She should have been. She should have been, by the way, taken back by kill my sister.
Yeah, I think so. Listen to how you guys fawn all over her in this next segment.
Well, she's pretty.
So can't you be a grown-ass man and just suck it up and pretend that you've seen a pretty girl before?
Look at her, though, Ralph. I think we did pretty darn well considering how huge her boobs are. Come on.
Listen to this.
Either this tall model girl who's flat-chested who kind of looks like a guy or, you know, me with curves. And guys like that. And,
yes. Guys like it very much.
We do. They
Why
do.
Am
they
I
do.
The only one applauding?
Yeah, no, right.
I got your back here, Kevin.
Come on now.
I've got your back, Kevin. I'm applauding you. I'm applauding your big boobies. Aren't you embarrassed?
Not even a little bit.
Not
really. For that.
All right.
No.
Then she talks about how rough it was for her growing up. And how she was bullied. And you know, sometimes when you're talking about women being sort of catty to each other, sometimes you'll make the sound of a cat and you'll go, "Rear."
Right.
Right?
Right.
Bean tries to make that sound.
Oh, that's what the tweet. I got a tweet from somebody saying, please isolate Bean making the cat sound. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
We're going to get you up there. We're going to play it. And then we have it about three times afterwards so you can really hear it. But anyone talking about a cat would go,
right.
Please listen to the attempt.
I hope you kept every one of their names so that you could send them a copy of your Carl's Jr. ad. How you
guys,
like me now, bitch?
Just want you to have this copy. Here's a shirt signed by me. Have a good week in your trailer. They're probably all pregnant now, but, you know, whatever. All right, now that you pointed out.
What is that?
Was that the cat thing?
Is that a cat sound?
You knew that's what I was trying to do. It sort of sounded like it a little bit. I think the message got across.
Hang on.
All right, that's the best thing ever.
Or she's trying to start her motorcycle. I'm not sure which.
Wow. I've worked with Bean too long that I didn't hear that.
It sounds like an old crank-up siren underwater.
This is just like when I was trying to do the dog pound with our city hall that time. I can't do dog sounds. Apparently, I can't do cat sounds either.
I think you do them both perfectly well.
We got it again?
Yes.
No?
Now, come on.
What's wrong with you two?
A lot, Ralph. You know that. A lot. So you're saying it went well?
Then you sent her on her way by insulting her, which I thought was a nice touch. You came all the way around from just pandering and laughing at everything she said to saying that Joe Dirt was going to be the worst movie ever. And she's going to be in it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And then Kevin defends it, telling Bean she's going to be in it, and then Kevin trashes it and says, well, don't oversell it. It's not going to be good.
I wasn't defending it as much as I was defending the fact that she was going to be in it.
Play it.
I have my Joe Dirt 2 movie coming out in the summer. So.
And there's no way you can stop that movie from coming out?
She's in it.
I'm in it.
I'm just saying.
It's going to be great.
She's in the
speaking well, for the rest of us.
Come on. It's going to be an amazing movie.
I'm sure it is.
Well, I think she may have oversold it is what I'm saying. I was defending only the fact that she's in the movie, so maybe don't. But then she had to go and say it's going to be great.
Well, it was time.
What am I supposed
time
to do with
well
that?
Spent with Sweater Puppies McGee.
Charlotte McKinney. Congratulations to Dalit Brady from Northridge. Won tickets for Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. That's right. We're giving them away all this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. Your chance to win is coming up. Details at krock.com. I'm very sad that the Pope is no longer in America. You know how much I love Pope Francis, Kevin.
I do, but I'm not sad that he's not. I know you're not Catholic, but and you also don't believe in God. But if the Pope was in Seattle, you wouldn't have gone.
Probably not. I would have watched him on TV, though, and that would have been cool. It was great to see the Pope in Washington. It was great to see the Pope in New York and see the Pope in Philadelphia. And he just did lots of cool things. The Pope is just – he's just a baller.
Can I just interrupt? I'm not sure the Pope's a baller.
Did you see him, Allie? I know you love the Pope as I do. Mm-hmm. Did you see him pull over the motorcade to kiss that kid on the head with the cerebral palsy? Did you see that?
I saw that. I saw the kid that ran out, somebody holding the kid. Oh, it's a beautiful thing to see.
And then the little baby that was dressed up as the Pope that he kissed too. It's just adorable. And the world loves the Pope. And now I'm happy to say there's been a lot of Pope merchandise as a result of the Pope's visit to America. You've been able to buy a Pope bobblehead, and there's been T-shirts. There's been all sorts of cool stuff. Now there's a Pope album that's getting ready to come out. Pope Francis has an album coming out. It is called Wake Up, Go, Go Forward. The Pope, as I understand, Kevin,
does not rap.
He does not sing. He does not rap on this album. But what somebody has done, a musician named Tony Buglicki, has taken some of the Pope's speeches and written music around them and put it together to make songs by the Pope, which I think is a great idea.
I have a clip. You want to hear it? This is
I
real.
Do.
This is real. This is not one of our little fake clips. Here we go.
Wake up. Wake up. The Lord speaks of a responsibility which the Lord gives you. It is the duty to be vigilant, not to allow the pressures, the temptation, and the sins of the ourselves or other to dull our sensibility to the beauty of holiness, to the joy of the gospel.
I don't feel like that's going to be my jam.
I see working out to nothing else but Pope Francis. Because you know what a gym rat I am.
Are there any songs on it, or is it all just...
Well, I don't have... That's the only track that's been released so far, is that initial single, that The Wake Up song. So I don't know what the rest of the record is like, but we did ask Dave if there's any chance we can get his Holy Father back on the phone. He is back in Rome now, out of the United States, and apparently we have lined him up, and we have Pope Francis on the phone right now. Hi, Your Holiness. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're fine. Did you have a nice time in America?
I must say, America is a wonderful place,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So welcoming and full of love and promise for the future, and the freedom of America does amazing things for the spirit.
Well, we want to ask you about the new record, but just one more Philadelphia-related question is, what was it like hanging out with actor Mark Wahlberg the other day?
Wahlberg, first of all, is a really nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, it's a pleasure for me to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what? No.
Why would he say that?
He was surprised that I was so excited to meet him.
And it wasn't believable at all, the way he said that line, right?
Not at all. And I said to him, I love what you do with the art of acting. It's what I try to do with the guidance of my flock in religion.
Right.
Is to transform the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I think we got a transformer.
Now, did that make sense to you?
It did. I didn't know what the line means from him.
Okay.
But apparently, he's very sweet. He said to me, tell your mother I say hello.
Okay. All right. That's the Mark Wahlberg.
My mother is gone many years now, but I give a prayer to her. Hopefully she knows that I say hello to her.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about this this record. Musician, I'm going to try the name again. Tony Bagliuca is his name. He is a prog rock artist, and he has taken samples from your speeches and put them to music and is putting out a rock and roll album, right?
Yes. It's very exciting to hear my new jam. My new joint,
right?
Wake up, go forward, and the response is being incredibly, everybody so much like it.
Now, is it all older speeches that they put music to?
This album is spoken word.
Okay.
From my speech to music beds underneath that.
Okay.
But everyone is so excited and likes so much with the work that I do.
Uh-huh.
That I am now working on a second album of music that I sing on the album.
Really?
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Yes, it's going to be a very personal project for me to sing the my favorite songs on the new album.
Oh, so they're covers?
It's, yeah, all cover songs, versions of songs that I love and mean a lot to me.
Oh, wow.
And it's personal favorites of mine. In my new album, Francis Goes to Hollywood.
Well, nice title.
Yes, it was touch and go with the legal department.
Sure.
But it's different because I'm not say Frankie.
Right. What kinds of songs will you, a 78-year-old, be attempting to sing on this album, Pope Francis?
All my favorites. All the songs made a big impression. Popular music make a big impression on me.
Okay.
And so is she okay?
I don't know if she's okay or not.
So,
not positive.
Can you pray for her? Every day I pray for her.
Yeah.
Maybe she find a home and get out of her car.
Right, exactly.
Popular music that has made an impression on me.
Like what? Give us an example of a song that you
I'm working in the studio now. Here's some of the songs that will be on the new album, Francis Goes to Hollywood.
All right.
I'm on the highway to hell.
That's
highway to hell.
Does it make, I don't see.
Highway to hell.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, but why are you singing about being on a highway to hell? Shouldn't your music be more about getting to heaven?
Well, sure, I guess, but it's like songs I like.
It's a good song.
Okay. You like what you like in this life.
That's true. It is a good song.
Here's another song I love so much. Devil inside. Every single one of us have a devil inside.
Again.
Devil inside. Look inside of me, I got a devil inside.
Wow.
But Pope, it's the devil, though. I mean,
yeah, Pope.
Your ultimate. Your
Pope.
But Pope.
Come on, Pope.
Call me Pope. Here's another song I love.
Yes,
so much,
oh yeah?
And it's on the new album.
Okay.
Running with the devil. Running with the devil.
Again, seems I'm very confused.
Seems like a devil theme is running through this.
Yeah.
This song's real good. Hell. Hell is for children.
Why is this album so dark?
And the little heads are so small that they can't hold a brain.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I love that song.
This is such a surprise to me. I got to be honest.
This one's my favorite, I think.
Okay.
I want to hump you like an animal.
Okay. That's...
I want to bless you from the inside.
I want to hump you like an animal. Yeah. I get you closer to God. Yeah!
Oh, we're going to hell.
Wow.
That's very likely.
Jay Moore's on his way. Mm-hmm. He's not here yet, but he's on his way.
Well, that's good to know.
So he's becoming super unreliable.
Yeah.
Which we love. Let's talk about, look, I'm the first one to admit that I should not be commenting on anyone's fashion.
Sure.
In any way, for any reason, at any time.
Okay.
But the man bun.
The man bun.
Is awesome.
Pristine.
It's got to go.
Right? It's a thing of beauty.
This ignited a firestorm in the office. And if you don't know what the man bun is, Christine, why don't you explain it? Because I got confused between a top knot, a man bun. What exactly is a man bun?
Oh, I think the term man bun, people are referring to any sort of pulling back of the hair on a guy in either like a very small knot or a very large knot, depending on how much hair you have. It could be in the top of your head. It could be in the middle or bottom of your head.
So the fact that it's in the back doesn't make it a ponytail because it's in a bun.
Because it's in a bun, yeah.
Okay.
Because a ponytail would be a ponytail.
So the argument that broke out in the office yesterday was, how is this a thing?
Yeah.
And who looks good with that? And Christine was right there.
Yeah.
She's so pro-man bun.
I am so pro-bun.
How is that possible?
Well, I think when I was trying to figure out, like, when my little bun love started, I think it might have
just said.
Wow. I think it might have been a combination of probably when David Beckham first had it and also maybe Clay Matthews, you know, two of my favorites.
Right.
Okay.
Former USC Trojan. And I think that's kind of when I was like, that's pretty hot.
Okay.
Well,
so
they are hot regardless.
True.
So does the man bun make them hotter or is it just continuing the hot?
I think it's continuing
the hot.
Yeah,
because you would like both the way both those guys look anyway.
Absolutely.
So the question is, wouldn't they look better without the man bun?
Well, I mean, you might think so. I think the bun works.
Does it accentuate the hot, or you said it just keeps it going? So it, a man bun really does nothing.
Well, I guess maybe it, for them it would accentuate it then.
Okay, what about Frankie from Downey?
Well, here's the thing. You can't insert average people when you're talking about stuff like this. Because we're talking about something like that's a physical trait. So do you talk about people like us when we're talking about hot people? We don't.
No,
we talk
course.
About hot people.
Okay? Right.
So I don't think we can include people like us, normal people, in conversations like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't like them. I think they're horrible. I think they look dirty. I think they look like maybe they smell. I feel like...
Do you feel like it's hippie-ish?
It's hippie-ish. It's hipster.
Miss Allie McKay, may I present to you Exhibit A.
Okay.
Your beloved Tom Brady with
he looks horrible.
His top knot.
He looks horrible.
She did it. She separated herself from her love
with
Tom Brady.
Absolutely. When he wears Uggs, I'm like, oh, Tom, stop it. I can do that because I can separate hot from a bad decision. A man bun is a bad decision.
Says you.
Says me. Absolutely.
Hmm. Kevin. All right, we'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Look, again, I'm the last person that should be commenting, but it looks dumb to me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, for fans of the bun, you know, Instagram
there
is really...
There aren't fans of the bun. Okay. That's not a group. What are you talking about, fans of the bun?
It's really... Instagram is
really
a beautiful
place.
Okay. Yeah, we do. It's called Instagram.
Okay.
You can search hashtags such as Man Bun Monday, Top Knot Tuesday, and if it's on Sunday, you're lucky enough to be part of Sunday Bun Day.
Get
I'm
out.
Just saying.
Get out, Christine.
Get out.
Get out.
Would you guys also like to know the best thing ever?
So we have...
You can combine your love of man buns with Disneyland because there is an Instagram account called Man Buns of Disneyland.
No.
Hot guys at Disneyland sometimes with beautiful children.
I feel like,
and a man bun.
I feel like we need to take Instagram away from Christine.
This is very concerning for everyone.
So she put it on Facebook yesterday, and there's a lot of feedback, including Matt, who wrote, it's a travesty, it's vaginal kryptonite.
Wow. That's pretty serious.
Not to Christine, apparently.
Oh.
I think I saw them play at the Troop.
They look terrible
they
and a little gross.
Mm-hmm.
The man bun is the most hideous fashion trend ever, according to Kathleen. Let's see. Mike put cool man bun, said no one ever in the history of ever.
However, there were some pro, Christine. I will say, Mike Simmons says, yes, please. I want something to grab onto. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Miko Simmons. Either way.
Yeah, either way.
I was gonna say, I don't think.
Absolutely.
Guys can love it, too.
Sure. But they don't.
Amethyst said, I don't know, some men can totally pull it off. And Rachel says, I love me a man bun. Mm-hmm. So there is some pro man bun people out there.
All right, let's talk to Frank in Wilmington. Hello, Frank.
Hey, morning, guys.
Man
morning,
bun.
I hate to say that I do support the man bun.
Do you have a man bun?
Yes. I used to wear my hair like an afro, but started putting the man bun, and people say that I clean up nice.
Asshole. I don't know if that's
what?
Necessary,
I didn't say it.
Kevin.
It wasn't my voice.
So you support the man bun because you're getting more action because of the man bun.
Yes, but I do not support the man samurai bun that is worn on top of the
top. See, that is something that Christine and I got into, because that's what I think of the man bun, is on the top of the head. And for some reason, it gets more acceptable to me the lower it gets.
Because it's sort of in the ponytail
area?
Yeah,
it's like a ponytail, but then you forgot to pull it all the way through type of thing.
So, Frank, you like the man bun, just not on the top of your head.
Yeah, more in the ponytail area, okay. Towards the back.
I reject you totally. Sorry. Appreciate your calling. Thank you. 1-800-520-1067. You can also text us at 2KROCK. And you can, hit us up on Twitter and everything else, Instagram.
Oh yeah.
Stupid Christine. We'll take your calls next on KROCK. Jay Moore on the way. Petros Papadakis on the way. Right now we're having a discussion that spilled over into pretty much a fight in the office.
It's tearing the show apart.
It really is.
Well, it was really you guys screaming at me was how that went.
Right. Well, sure.
Okay.
I mean, technically, because you're the only person that would stand up for the man bun.
Yes.
Because the man bun looks bad. All right. Let me just say this. The guys you like are beautiful guys.
Yes,
right?
They are.
Okay. Wouldn't they look better without a man bun?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think
do you think it adds to their looks?
Yeah. I mean, of course, somebody like David Beckham will look good no matter what
right.
he does.
Right. Jared Leto wears one from time to time.
Sure.
Gavin Rosdale wears one from time to time.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yes.
These are all
Tom
hot
Brady.
Guys.
Right. That's
look great
my point.
With a mohawk would look great anyway.
True.
So
they could have armpit buns and you would be in.
Absolutely. I might draw the line there. But I'm saying just because they're hot, I mean, that's the thing is like we're not talking about, when we talk about a physical trait, you're talking about attractive people.
But right. It doesn't make them hotter is what I'm saying. So Freddie from Pacoima has a man bun. You're not like, oh, I wasn't into him till I saw that man bun.
Well, maybe. I haven't seen Freddie yet.
Christine, you're a big fat liar.
Here's another Freddie who tweeted at Kevin and Bean, the ponytail ran its course. It's the man bun time. Deal with it.
Well, see, maybe Freddie would look better with a man bun.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go
to... You rock that bun, Freddie.
Let's go to Jason and Whittier. Hi, Jason.
What's happening, guys?
Man bun.
I've had one since high school, on and off. I'll cut my hair short, then I'll grow it back, put it back in a bun.
Now, is the bun on top of your head or on the back of your head?
It really depends, kind of on the
Both.
Day. You know,
okay.
I'll put it a little high up, or sometimes I'll put it low. You know, it just depends. But
asshole.
And the response.
I love it, man.
I'm not asking if you love it. I said the response. Like other people, what did they say?
Oh. They don't mind, My daughter, she's cool with it. My girlfriend, she's cool with it. She actually used to like short hair before she met me, and I've changed
her. That's right.
So.
You convinced her.
Yeah, because he had long hair, and this way it's shorter. It's just sort of stacked up on top of his head. She's just trying to get you to cut your hair, man. I'm putting you down for a no. I'm putting you down for a no. I'm sorry. That's what I heard. So Jason is a no. Jason.
I think he was actually
he was a no.
Yes, Kevin.
That's not what I heard.
Okay.
Kara in Winnetka. Hi.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
Well, it's going well, but there's a huge argument about the man bun.
Well, I mean, you have to love men with long hair, and I'm just really happy that that's all back. Sexy.
Okay, but
long hair is sexy, but why do you have to put it on the top of your head in a bun? Let it flow.
It doesn't have to be at the top of your head, but I mean, if you're hot and you got long hair and that's hot and you like wrap it up, you just want to like unwrap that bun.
Kara, what if he used a scrunchie?
Oh,
ooh.
It's not 1980. Don't use the scrunchie.
Yeah, no scrunchie.
Okay. Anti-scrunchie.
All right, I'm putting you down for no, Kara.
I think she was a yes.
Kara's
again.
A no. All right.
I think she was a yes.
I don't feel like we're making progress, but okay. Jennifer in West L.A. is going to set us straight. Hey, Jennifer.
Okay, I am ready to set you straight.
Please.
I'm going to give you Exhibit A. If
yes.
you go to the Instagram page, mm-hmm. Man Buns of Disney.
Yes.
Many, many examples of beautiful men with man buns at Disneyland.
So Jennifer.
So Jennifer, let me ask you the question that we were asking in the office. Okay, those people are beautiful people. Wouldn't they be, you know, 1% more beautiful without the man bun, or does the man bun add to their beauty?
Okay, I'm going to give you the case in point. The ultimate example is the photograph of Chris Hemsworth with his baby daughter in his arms with his man bun.
Right.
There is nothing hotter than the man bun on Chris Hemsworth holding his baby at Disneyland.
Well, he's nothing. Hot.
He's hot, so. And he's holding a baby.
And he's holding a baby, which
at
just
Disneyland.
Increases the hotness.
So, but the man bun takes away from all of that at least
1%. No. Wow. It enhances that.
Yep. Put Jennifer down for a no.
A no. Okay, a no. That's a good call. Thank you, Jennifer.
This isn't working out for us at all.
I thought we would get a lot of support.
Right? I think all those people were yeses.
Yeah. Really? Is your name Sheila? Because it says Sheila. What's your name?
Sheila.
Sheila, okay.
Sheila.
So,
yeah, my son, I'm all for the man bun. My son had long hair, and out of nowhere, he decided to get it cut, and he had it shaved all underneath, and he pulls the long part back into a ponytail or a bun for soccer, and all his friends think he's super cool, and a lot of people have since gotten their hair cut like his.
Well, that's actually called a top knot with an undercut, if you guys would like to know.
Oh, I didn't you want so to much.
Know. No, Christine. Yes.
Name the people that got a haircut after your son did it.
I'm not proud of this, but Justin Bieber's hair looks like my son's now, too.
All right, Sheila, you have to put an end to that.
I'm
put
sorry.
Your foot down and just say you're a bad mother because that happened.
I know.
No?
Okay. So she's disqualified.
Yeah, she, yeah.
Because her son
Bieber.
Has hair like Justin
Again,
Bieber.
Again, another yes.
Hunt in Manhattan Beach. Hi there.
How's it going?
Good. Man buns.
So, I had a man bun, and the approval rating was so bad, I had to cut it in shape.
Right?
There you go.
Hunt, you stopped getting the ladies, didn't you? They were like, nope.
They dried up.
My girlfriend liked it only because I had, you know, hair bands around my wrist so she could borrow one of them.
That's great.
That is really,
that's something
that's
I didn't
thoughtful.
Even think of.
So
a
thoughtful,
guy will
right?
always have a hair band for
totally.
You.
Totally. I'm in.
Wow. So you're saying no for real.
I'm saying no.
All right. Okay. That's five
All
rows.
Right. Here
this
we go.
Is, man, this is overwhelming. Let's go to Freddie in Garden Grove. Hi, Freddie.
4-1.
Hi, put me down for yes, my good man.
Oh, hang up on Freddie. You're out, Freddie.
All right, let's go to Francesca.
I didn't really mean hang up on Freddie.
Well, I do what I'm told. Francesca, hi.
Francesca, yes.
There was no future with him.
You're right,
right?
You're right.
Okay, Francesca, yes.
Okay, so I'm a converted no bun to yes bun because my boyfriend grew out his hair because he donates his hair.
Okay, so like locks of love,
see,
that type of
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, exactly.
No, okay. See, no,
a
we're not.
Guy.
See, but what you're having to do to accept the man bun is you have to say, oh, he's holding a baby. Isn't that cute? Isn't he a great guy? Oh, he's giving his money to charity.
You're right.
Isn't
there,
that?
Yeah.
No.
You
but
have to make up for the fact that it's taking away.
But it's, no, it's
We're putting you down
though.
For a no.
It's
beautiful.
He actually hates it, though.
He hates it.
He hates it now because of what the man bun has become, and now he says he's going to cut it. Once and for all, and yeah. never grow it back again.
Yes, and what has the man bun become?
Well, he says that everyone thinks he's like, especially since we live in Long Beach, it's like the chill thing to do, you know?
Right.
So, and he hates that. He doesn't want to become like a stereotype anymore.
Poor guy. Just
yeah.
giving his hair away to charities. He doesn't even want to.
That's all he wants. And it See? Looks beautiful, might I add. It's a He has beautiful hair.
Right, but we're saying he has beautiful hair and you find him attractive anyway.
Oh, so, yeah.
What about
way,
putting it in some Willie Nelson braids, Francesca? How about that?
No.
How about cornrows?
You know, I don't know if I like that either.
All right.
Yeah, I
don't. You guys will take braids and cornrows over the bun?
Yes.
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 Yeah,
well, you know, I'll ask him and see what he says.
Please okay. do. Have cornrows and then send in a picture.
Okay,
All
will
right.
do.
Thank you. All right, so we're ruling. I guess no man bun.
Stop
right.
it.
Cool.
We want to talk to you if you own a monkey or know someone who does or did. Coming up in about 50 minutes or so here in Kerrick. We're not letting monkeys go, Allie. Don't scoff at us.
I just don't think
it's going to be fun.
I need a monkey.
First, though, We can all agree that people in Boston should be forced to leave the United States and never come back, right?
No.
I think
they're the worst people. I mean, it's generally understood that Boston is America's a-hole, and there's a reason why, and it's the way they talk. It's the goddamn accent that we are forced to endure every time somebody from Boston gets on the TV. Allie, you got a lot of this in your family, right?
I do. I come from a long line of proud Bostonians.
You mean massholes?
Sure.
How were you able to escape the accent?
Well, I was born and raised in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. My parents moved here in the late 60s.
Do your parents have it?
They certainly do. And I grew up hearing it. All my aunts and uncles, everyone, they have it. And I could mock it because I know that you don't put an R at the end of the word idea. And I know car, you keep that R, you don't drop it.
What's the problem with R's?
I don't know.
Is it just the R?
Like a typical sentence that my mother would say as a kid. I just said mother.
You did.
Wow. That my mother would say as a kid, she'd say, all right, best idea, hop in the car, we're getting a pizza. Like, Ma, you screwed up three words in one sentence. It's a sickness.
Well, it's a terrible, terrible accent, and people from Boston are terrible, terrible people.
But Kevin insists on revisiting
The Man Who Saw the Sunfish. Now, we talked about this very briefly last week because we put it in the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, and you can see the video there at kevinbean.cabaretkwork.com. And I could barely get through it one time, Kevin. Why are you making us listen to this guy
again? Because it's the best thing I've ever heard, Bean. How can you not be fascinated by this guy? He's looking at a sunfish. Okay, so you don't know what it is. All right. How much of a conversation is that? 30 seconds?
Nope.
Right?
This guy goes on for what seems like 10 hours.
It does seem like 10 hours. That's my point, is don't put us through this again.
Oh, no, I edited it down so it's not that long. Uh-huh. But I would like you to notice that there, as far as I can tell, there are only two people on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy
is Jay and Mike, right?
Yes. And Jay, his name gets mentioned, I don't know, a million times.
Yeah.
Do you guys have friends like that call you your name? Allie, you want to go get some pizza, Allie? I mean,
no.
That's weird, right?
No.
And as you point out, Kevin, there's no one else on the boat. So if Mike is talking, he's talking to Jay. He doesn't need to specify Jay.
So they see a fish. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what fish it is. They think it might be dead. It might be sick. They don't know. So this is the beginning.
I don't know what this is, but Jay says it's a big sea turtle.
Look, it's a baby whale.
It's a baby whale, man. Holy, we are witnessing a baby whale right here, dude. Holy. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Jay, that thing is hurt, bro. Holy, look at this thing. Oh my God, what the is that, bro? Jay, what the is that? Oh man, pull back up, Jay. Come on, bro, pull back up, bro.
All right, now seriously, aren't you pretty much out of energy on that topic by now?
Yes, A, I'm out of energy if I'm Mike. B, if I'm Jay, I'm throwing Mike over the side of the boat. How can you listen to this guy?
You guys, come on. They're witnessing something they never seen before. This is legendary.
I'm going to start doing this every time he mentions his name because it's fascinating.
We're seeing we ain't never seen before, kid. Oh, my God, that thing looks dead, man. We got to call the aquarium or something, dude.
All right, now here's my question. If you see a dead animal, you call the aquarium?
I don't think so.
Is that who you call?
I think that's just nature.
And it's a great point that over the course of this video, Mike, the guy who's talking, he thinks it's a whale. He thinks it's a tuna. He thinks it's a shark. He thinks it's hurt. He thinks it's dead. He has no idea what he's looking at, but it does not stop him from guessing.
Back and forth between it could be dead and maybe it needs help, or we should hook it and sell it.
Yeah.
Right.
Back and forth between those two, yeah.
Oh, man, look at this thing. Holy, what the is that? Oh man, Jay, it's dead, bro, or something. Oh my God, Jay, pull right up next to that, Jay. Oh man, look at this thing. Oh man, look at that, Jay. Holy, what the is that, kid? You want to try to pull it in? Let's hook it.
I'd never noticed until listening to it in earphones. They're listening to Biggie Smalls.
They are.
Well done, Mike and Jay.
I was going to identify that a little bit later because it comes through a little bit more loud. And I was like, what?
if you had to guess the song they were listening to.
People. They are the whitest guys in the world.
Come
like
on.
You wouldn't necessarily think Biggie. By the way, as an aside, Boston aside, what's your tolerance for people who can't get through a sentence without swearing? This is like watching Ray Donovan listening to this video.
It doesn't bother me at all.
Doesn't bother you.
It's just, I think it's just the way people talk.
Yeah.
I mean, everything else about this guy bothers me, but not that.
Oh, man, that thing's just dead. What the hell is it? It looks like a baby whale.
There's the biggie.
Because I dropped out of high school.
Let's pull up next to that bro. Let's help it. Oh, man, we're calling the Coast Guard.
All right, now it's the Coast Guard. Oh, so first it was the aquarium,
yeah,
right?
Call it the Coast Guard.
Now they're calling the Coast Guard.
Sure.
Jay, stop. Here it is right here, Jay. Oh, man, look at this thing. Holy what is that thing? It needs help, whatever it is, dude. It's dying.
All right, so now it's dying, so now they need to help it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe get it. I don't know how to help it. Take it to some authorities.
Right.
Oh, my God, Jay. Jay, look at this thing. Jay, let's get it.
Yeah, he's dying, buddy.
Oh, man, Jay, that is a... That's a tuna, bro. Look at that thing. Oh, my God.
All right, here's my favorite part. Here's my favorite part because, seriously, Jay's got to be tired of this by now. If you're on the boat, don't you go, okay, look, you don't know what it is. Shut up. Maybe we'll even go take a closer look, but stop yelling about not knowing what it is.
Hey, Mike, let's play the quiet game.
Here's the sounder. Here's the sounder that you know this guy might kill him. And then they continue.
This is Michael Bergen and Jason Foster. We're about ready to pull this monstrous thing on this boat right here. Steve, I hope you're watching, buddy.
Now, why would Steve be watching? Are they periscoping? Okay, so if it's a video, then can't they show it to Steve and know that Steve is watching?
Steve might have tuned out by now.
But does Steve have a way of tuning in then?
No, he doesn't.
We don't know what the story is.
So why does this guy hope Steve is watching?
Maybe Steve was supposed to go with them that day on the boat and for whatever reason couldn't make it. And they're just saying, dude, you should be here right now. This is awesome.
Maybe I don't know. They're my heroes. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Those guys are my heroes right there.
Why can't I get a fair trial, you guys? Why do I have a jury that is already ready to convict me when you haven't heard one shred of evidence?
I am an impartial jurist.
Uh-huh.
Would you say that's true? I sit on the bench with great kindness and compassion for my fellow man, and I wait to hear and weigh the facts.
Okay.
Do we have the
reverb, the echo all ready to go here?
Yeah.
We have a feature, everyone.
Not yet.
You asked for it, douchebag.
We have a feature that we do from time to time that we call Who's the Dick? Now, historically in the past, you guys have always determined that I am the dick.
In our defense, you're always the dick.
Right.
Not true.
I mean,
it's like saying, oh, you know, in the past, Ted Bundy was accused of all those murders that he did. It's because the evidence pointed to all those murders that he did.
We had that guy who was walking down the middle of the street. Remember, he had his headphones on. He wasn't paying attention, and I slowed down as I drove by him.
In case you're not aware, you're in the middle of the street.
He was in the middle of the street because he didn't know, and all of a sudden, I'm trying to save a brother's life, and now I'm the dick.
You're not aware of it, but you're in the middle of the street, dick.
And then we had the guy, you'll recall, I held the door open at the 7-Eleven, and he walked on in, and I said, you're welcome. And then all of a sudden, I'm the dick.
You're welcome.
He did not say thank you, right?
Scolding a guy for not saying thank you when you held the door.
You're welcome.
Here's the thing. Every time you're involved with people, things go south. And most of the time, it's on you.
Okay. Well, that's a little historical background then before we get into this new edition of a feature. Again, we like to call Who's the Dick?
By the way, that read does not deserve reverb. There we go.
Who's the Dick?
You don't need reverb for that.
You want to do it, Ralph?
All right. Yes.
Why don't you try it? You try it.
Who's the Dick?
So much better.
That's actually much better.
So much.
Thank
you so much.
I just lost that job too.
Who are you calling Who's the Dick?
So he's just depressed because he knows it's always him. All right, what happened?
All right. Remember last week when I was down for the meeting where we almost all got fired? Remember?
Yes. Sure.
Okay. So I leave the meeting in tears like we all did. And then I get in my little rental car and I'm driving back to LAX. And I get off at, I think it's La Tejera. You get off by the gas right there. I think it's a 76 station right there. And then you head off and drop off your rental car and you get on your little plane and you go home. Right? So I'm at the gas station and I'm putting gas in my car.
Okay. So far, so
good. And this guy, he's about probably about 55 years old or so, African-American gentleman, walks up to me while I am pumping gas, and he is holding a gas can in his hand. And he says, hey, would you mind, could you pump in a, like a half a gallon for me, please?
I can tell you right now that Bean is the dick.
Is there any way this story ends with you being a decent human being and giving the guy half a gallon of gas?
The guy had a container in his hand.
Is there any chance that you did the right thing in this critical case? I would say no.
Come on! Look, I understand. Everybody has problems with people who beg. Some of them, oh, who knows, they're going to take the money and just buy booze, whatever.
Right.
This guy had a container.
He's not going to drink it. He's not going to go around the corner and get it loaded on half a gallon of high test.
So
Bean is the dick.
All right. Well, let's hear the rest of the facts.
My bad.
All right. So my initial reflex, of course, is to say, no, I'm sorry. Sure. I can't help you.
Because your default position is always, I hate people.
And it's because of what Kevin said. It's because you feel vulnerable in that situation every time you walk in or out of a 7-Eleven or something like that. All of my stories involve going to 7-Eleven. And you're so used to being head up and you're so used to the scammers. We've heard so many stories about the people who beg all day long and then go home to their much nicer house than yours and their nice new car. You know what I mean? You've heard those stories. So my default position was, no, sorry, I can't help you.
But then you saw he had a container for gas.
Right.
Yes.
Angel on your shoulder said, and then try not to be a dick for once.
And then he walked over to the guy who was pumping gas on the other side of the pumps, who was another black dude.
Hold on. So I want to hear the rejection. I want to hear what happened. He came up and said, could you give me half a gallon, sir?
And I said, no, sorry, I can't help you out.
With a gas nozzle in your hand, you said, I can't help you out. How can I possibly give you any gas? It's just not possible. I can't
There's
help you out.
No way that I can Where see I that I can actually from? Put gas in your
can't help you.
So then he walks over to the other guy, who's another black guy, who's on the other side, and he asks the same thing. Hey, can you help me out with a half a gallon? The guy said, no, I can't. So then I thought, well, good. At least now I'm not a racist, okay, because I turned the guy down. But then a black guy also turned the guy down.
Hold on. Well, they're separate issues. Whether that guy was a racist or not is different than whether you're a racist.
Right. No, that guy was a black guy, not a black guy. Now I don't feel so bad as the white guy turning down the black guy because now we're all turning
them down. Don't get us wrong. That's what we're trying to say.
Still an option.
All right. Yeah. So even though my default position was I'm not going to help this guy out because he just bum-rushed me at the pump there.
He bum-rushed you.
Define bum-rush.
Excuse me, sir, can I have some gas?
You knock at the ground and put a straw down your tank?
So I'm sucking on it to try and get it to...
So as I started to think about it, though, as I was wrapping up my purchase and putting the cap back on and getting in my car to drive to the airport...
You said, hey, sir, I'm sorry. Come on back.
I thought better of it, and now I'm going to do the right thing.
I actually did the
gap.
I did start to think, how is there any way that this was a scam? Like if my antenna were up because I was afraid I was being scammed, how would he scam me by asking for a half a gallon of gas? Like you said, Ralph, he's not going to drink it. Is he doing this to 80 people and that's how he's getting a free tank of gas before he drives out? Is it possible that's what he's doing?
That's what he's doing. He's stockpiling free gasoline from 80 people and then selling it on the black market.
Yes, yeah. He's reselling it.
Oh, that black market gas. Hundreds of
dollars.
Why the
market got to be black, first of all? But you're saying it is possible he was scamming
No one is saying that.
I'm mocking your thought process.
Zero people would ever think, hey, maybe he's collecting enough to fill up his tank.
I'm thinking the bastard is out of gas, stuck someplace down the road, and he's just looking for a little help.
That's kind of the conclusion that I feared as I was driving away, you know, thinking about it, as I think that maybe
I saw him walking down the road with his little empty can.
The sole of his shoe flapping in the breeze.
He was carrying all of his possessions.
A hobo trundle.
All right, you know what, Bean? We're going to let you rule on this one.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, look, I don't know. I don't know.
No, we're saying you have to rule, though.
There's no way that I'll ever know whether he was legit or whether he was scamming. But I will say that my default position was no. But then the more I thought about it as I drove away from that poor man who's probably still on the side of La Tejera, I thought, I don't know how he was scamming, so I probably should have given him the gasoline.
That's my thought. That's not the question on the floor, Congressman. The question on the floor is, were you a dick?
Sorry. I thought you were going to come with a ruling. My bad.
Can we talk to Alan real quick and see what she has to say? She's on line one. I think she wants to weigh in here real quick before we roll.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, yeah, what's up?
Who's the dick?
Who's the dick?
Who's the dick?
Oh, no, Bean's not a dick. And for the record, I am a guy. I get this a lot. I get called a girl by the bank and everything. But, Bean, you're not a dick. Because
Tell me how I'm not the dick.
Well, because you held the door open for somebody, and that's a stand-up, gentlemanly thing to do. And if
Wait, but that was the last story. Did you hear this
Alan,
story?
You're coming from the tube of history.
No, you're not a dick for this either. If somebody wants a free half gallon of gas, I'm sorry. The economy's tough, dude.
Wow,
but
Alan.
But he ran out of gas. It's not like he's just looking for free gas. Yeah. He needs it
Don't
for his
you
car.
Think there's a car alongside the road someplace, and the guy got a little can out of it and walked up to just try and get his car moving?
I don't know, man. It's not the 90s anymore. I didn't know people still carry little cans around.
Good point.
It's not the 90s. Out of gas, though.
Not the
It's tough to argue that it's not the 90s.
Now in the 21st century, gas is carried in a thought bubble.
No, look. He was irresponsible. He ran out of gas. It's not Bean's job to correct society.
No,
wow,
it isn't.
You're a bad dude.
But is there an ounce of kindness?
How about humanity for a fellow person on down on his luck?
You know what? There is. I will buy somebody a meal. I have bought a homeless
person
a meal
before.
But not
gas, damn it. That's where I draw the line. I'll give him food, but not petrol.
The guy wasn't asking for money, or he was offering to clean
food?
His windshield
wasn't
or whatever.
Anything.
I just don't get it. Why would he say, can you just fill this up halfway? Like, go the full measure at least.
Because he just wanted enough to actually then get to a gas station to get his own gas.
I don't know, Bean. You're not a dick.
This is why God gave you a woman's voice, Alan, because you're a bad person.
Who said that? Who's the dick now?
All right. Bean is a dick, and caller Alan is also a dick. And the woman.